Well, with the Prime Minister swiftly planning to reconvene Parliament, there will be one very big gap on the government backbenches when the politicians do return to Canberra, and that is the seat of the former Prime Minister Tony Abbott. His 25-year political career was brought to an abrupt end on Saturday night when he lost his seat of Warringah to independent Zali Steggall.
I can't say that it doesn't hurt to lose, but I decided back then in October of last year that if I had to lose, so be it. I'd rather be a loser than a quitter.
Former Prime Minister Tony Abbott and former member of Warringah conceding defeat on Saturday night, quite early on in the night as it turned out. Zali Steggall has pledged stronger action on climate change as she moves to sit on the crossbench when Parliament comes back. She could have a key say if the Coalition falls short of a majority at any point in the next term. Zali Steggall, welcome back to RN Breakfast and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Scott Morrison described Saturday's result as a miracle for the Coalition. I don't know if you believe in miracles. Do you think it was miraculous, your 13% swing you took off Tony Abbott to claim victory, or actually, 13% swing, miraculous, or just a turning of the tide?
Oh, I think certainly locally it was a turning of the tide. For some time, this is an economically conservative seat, but socially progressive and wants to see action on certain fronts. Mr. Abbott has just been kind of deaf to that for many years, and I think the election and the result show that at the end of the day, a grassroots campaign and the locals can take action when their representative no longer represents them.
The votes are still being counted. It's not clear yet if the Coalition will be in majority government or minority government. The outcome is tight. Have you had a phone call from the Prime Minister yet?
I have congratulated him on his fantastic outcome.
Did you ring him or did he ring you?
He rang me. I must say I didn't have his number. But I certainly congratulate him. I think personally, from his perspective, he must feel very vindicated and certainly very excited at the prospect. He has a fantastic opportunity, I think, ahead of him. Mr. Abbott no longer being in the Parliament can be a real circuit breaker for the Coalition in terms of there doesn't need to be such a negative and sort of a climate war approach and sort of a more oppositional aspect to certain progressive issues. And it's the opportunity to actually form a consensus and look to the areas of opportunity.
So did you put that pitch to Scott Morrison when he rang, and what did he say?
No, we didn't get into that much detail.
You didn't.
For the moment, I think you have to appreciate everyone has worked really hard. It's been a grueling few months, and I think he deserves the opportunity to bask in the success of the victory.
Just to stay with that phone call for a moment, was it just to congratulate you on your win, or was it to try and seek some kind of support from you if it was in fact minority government or tight?
I think clearly we'll have discussion, more detailed discussions in the future. It was a first opportunity to talk, to congratulate one another on our campaigns and victories.
Should it be a minority government when all the votes are counted? You've previously said the Morrison government has a mandate. Are you seeking, or would you be seeking, any specific commitments from the Coalition before guaranteeing support, supply and confidence?
Look, I've said it very clearly during the campaign. My preference is to support confidence and supply to the Coalition. I think the result gives them a clear mandate to form government. There's no doubt about that. But of course, yes, key policy areas are we need to get more progressive. We need to make some headway on climate change.
What particularly would you be insisting on? What would you be wanting?
Look, for example, renewable energy target comes to an end in 2020. It needs to be extended. ARENA needs to have certainty of funding so that we can have that investment in innovation and we can make sure the discoveries and the inventions of the future, which will bring prosperity and prop up our economy, are there.
Do you think we've seen on Saturday night a country divided on climate change? I mean, climate change was thought might be the decider in this election, and in some ways perhaps it was. But what we've seen in inner suburban blue ribbon Liberal seats like Warringah, the seat you won, a big shift, people wanting more, demanding more action on climate change. We saw a big shift in the Liberal inner Sydney seat of North Sydney. Liberals still hold that seat, but that seemed to be a climate vote. In Higgins, in Kooyong, people voting for the climate. They didn't knock off the sitting Liberal members, but that vote was clear. And yet in other parts of the country, Queensland in particular, it seemed to be a population that said, rejected Labor's push for action on climate and its position on coal?
Well, I see it's more a rejection of Labor's economic policy than climate. You have to look at seats like Wentworth, where I think Dr. Phelps had done a fantastic job. But look, David Sharma is also, I've met him. He is a very moderate. He is committed to climate change action. So there are a number from within the coalition that want to see progress and action on that front.
Yes, but that's always been the case and they've never been able to achieve it. That's been their sort of Achilles heel, hasn't it, energy policy?
When it comes to the regional areas, the irony is regional Australia will be hardest hit by the impact of climate change. So that it's not something that's going to go away. The weather and the extreme weather patterns will happen and they will impact regional areas. And so it will be the focus. The jobs is an important issue. And I don't think the renewable industry has done a good enough job at promoting how many jobs come to regional Australia when large-scale renewable projects get up. And when that is compared to the mining industry, that is where there is that perception. So again, it's about everyone getting to the table, approaching the issue collaboratively, looking at what does regional Australia need to make sure that it is feeling that it's part of progress and it has those opportunities in the future.
And that's one argument. The other argument, the counter to that, is Tony Abbott's comments on Saturday night in his concession speech, where he said, where climate change is a moral issue, it's a problem for us, the Liberals. Where climate change is an economic issue, I think it works to our benefit.
Look, I think, unfortunately, he has been such a negative voice for the last 10 years when it comes to our approach on climate change. And I think the benefit we have of the outcome of the election, that he no longer is in Parliament, and it is that opportunity for the coalition to move forward without his divisiveness.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 13 past 8. Our guest is Zali Steggall. She's the new independent member in the seat of Warringah. She knocked off former Prime Minister Tony Abbott on Saturday night. When you've promised to push for deeper action on climate change, deeper cuts to greenhouse gas emissions, faster adoption of renewable energy, will you work, are you planning to work with other crossbenchers like Andrew Wilkie, Adam Bandt, Helen Haynes, Rebecca Sharkey? Have you spoken to these people? Are you planning to work in conjunction with them, in collaboration?
Of course. I think that Parliament is, we are there to represent all of Australia. We each are elected by our local electorates, but we are there for the common good of trying to progress Australia and make sure that we stay a strong and vibrant country and economy in the future. And that means working together, respecting differences of opinion, but finding solutions.
Let's talk about the campaign, your winning campaign. Tony Abbott said on Saturday night that it had been, quote, pretty personal at times. He'd already talked about a new nasty in Australian politics based on the campaign against him in Warringah. What did you think of the Vote Tony Out Instagram page last year and then the campaign in the ensuing months? Do you think it was nasty? Did you sanction that?
Well, look, I don't think Vote Tony Out was particularly nasty. I know there were some elements during the campaign that I thought were really inappropriate. Some, I think, the still police matters, so they're dealing with that. Look, it was incredibly personal, and I was certainly the subject of a lot of personal attacks, which I think are completely inappropriate.
So it wasn't just nasty towards Tony Abbott, is that what you're telling us?
No, I think that's pretty fair to say. I think I had a pretty constant thrashing in certain aspects of the media, especially the conservative media. Yeah, but look, what my message to the electorate was, if you want a different style of politics, you have to vote for a different style of politics. And they did overwhelmingly. Overwhelmingly, I had support of people, moderate Liberals, that wanted a different kind of representation for Warringah. And overwhelmingly, people are excited and thanking me. So I'm excited. I'm incredibly honoured at the trust and the opportunity. And I'm really focused on the job at hand.
You hold Warringah now by a pretty healthy 7.7%. That is a terrific lead. Next time around, though, you won't have Tony Abbott. If we look at the situation in Wentworth, Keren Phelps hasn't lost there, but it's very tight and it looks like she may not get back. She had a much smaller margin. But is there a lesson there for an independent winning a seat when they had a big target? You know, Keren Phelps had the kicking out of Malcolm Turnbull and the anger over that. You've got the decision by your elected well and truly to be rid of Tony Abbott. Does it make it harder for you to win again next time.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're looking at the right seats to compare. I mean, Karen only had 6-7 months, which is a very short period of time.
And not very many votes as a buffer.
It was a very tight call at the by-election. But you have to look at Cathy McGowan and now Helen Hayes. You've got to look at Rebecca Sharkey. They have held on to their seats and delivered for the area. So there's clear message that for independents and smaller minority parties like Centre Alliance, have that opportunity to deliver and be focused on the local issue, local constituents, and making sure that they feel represented. At the end of the day, no matter what the profile is nationally, you have to come back and appeal to your electorate.
Zali Steggall, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Zali Steggall is the new member for Warringah, an independent sitting on a crossbench.